And in our study of Jeremiah, we have proceeded down to where 597. He's been there approximately. He's been there, Jeremiah, all these years. And Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, Benjamin, they aren't doing very good. They just get harder and harder. And we share together that Jeremiah was all alone in that situation. Ezekiel at 597 is over, going to be over in Babylon with all the remnant that were taken captive. And so here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is going through whatever. And God had persuaded him, and as it were, and he has yielded. God has used him in a wonderful way. God wanted him to represent him, as it were, Jeremiah chapter 1. And Jeremiah gladly joined in with the request. And in the process, he had to be educated of what he was up against. He was not going into a little picnic or an easy thing. He was going into that situation with Jerusalem, where their heart was hard and harder, and the darkness would get darker and darker, and it would get tougher and tougher to do anything. And he went into that, and God told them right up front that everyone, including priest, prophet, all of them would be people, the princes, they would all be against him. That was the occasion. He's going to go in and give the people, like a light in the darkness, a warning, a trumpet call to pay attention. Now, having done that a little bit, and as we've gone along, and here we are, God, in your presence, looking at this, and you've recorded it. So here we are, seeking to be educated, enlightened by it. Now, in order to make sure you try to get it in the right way, you could say that you, Jeremiah, is in a very unique place. He's in the midst of hostility. They want to kill him. They hate him. And he keeps making hatred worse and worse and worse because he keeps doing the job. And therefore, in the process, you can say, well, we don't have that kind of thing. No, we don't, fortunately. We don't have that. And, using another side of the coin, Job didn't have any opposition. God just took him, and God put him through the mill with no one. He didn't have to oppose anybody. He just had to look to God and learn, and God put him through the testing. Now, so having said that, here we are, and in each of your little worlds, your world is such and such. And you have to work through going to bed, getting up in the morning, whatever it is, growing old, aging, just school, work, friends, enemies, foes, everything, just daily living. And you have to survive that. And usually, like in Ecclesiastes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before you get older, before things aren't happening. So when you're young, you can say, well, they aren't happening. But as you get older, they do happen. And life is changing. So now, if you just take that, draw a little circle in your mind and stand in it. Now, you'll be able to apply what Jeremiah's looking at the world around him and within him. You're looking at the world around you as you see it. Now, lessons. Here's Jeremiah, and we shared together that he was to represent God's word in a most wonderful way. And we shared that together in verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, God. Remember, because no one wants to hear him. Jeremiah keeps saying the same thing over and over and over. They don't want to hear it, and they want to kill him. So therefore, Jeremiah says, what's the sense in saying anything? I'm just not going to say anything anymore. Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, trying to hold it in, trying to hold it back, and I could not stay. I could not do it. I could not handle it. God was going to, in God's word, God's wonderful person was working in my head, working in my heart, and God is going to say what he has to say. We've shared that in our studies. God's going to say what he has to say. If he has to say it through stones, like entering into the city of Jerusalem on the week of his crucifixion, I'll do it. Whatever what I'm going to do, if I want to say something and I want it known, God said, you can be sure I'm going to make it known. And if you won't do it, I'll get you to do it. Someone's going to do what I want. Now, that's wonderful, because that's how we got God's word. That's why we have God's word, because God is insistent that he means what he says and says what he means. Now, so here's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah would like to not have to say any more, but God isn't through talking. God isn't through dealing with the nation of Jerusalem and Judah. He isn't through. And he's going to keep saying some more for a little longer till Nebuchadnezzar comes and levels the city. Now, so here's the fire burning in his bones. Now, in the process, Jeremiah, we share together, is being educated. Now, of all the things in life, here we all are, on planet Earth, and we're all interrelated somehow, work, home, school, play, community, whatever it is, and we do that. But when you pass on, anyone passes on, all the connections you have cease. True? It won't make any difference. But I belong to this club. The ball game is here, and I have to do this or that, and this is next week, and I have to do it. When God says it's time, time's up, it isn't going to make any difference what you said. True? Now, in the light of that, what is important to you? Since none of those relationships, they all cease in a moment of time. So what's the sense? In the sense, I'm evaluating things, and my heart stops beating, boom, it's all over. All those relationships are terminal. They end. And here I am. That's right. Because that's what God is after. God isn't after saving the company, the ball club, your organization, your home. God's interested in saving what? You. And when it's all done, when it's all happened, here it is, all happening, and we're related to all these different things. But God, looking at it from your perspective, you're going to do what? I'm going to take a believing heart and save them in a most wonderful way. I'm going to do that. So God, you're working on us. And that's important, because you want to get the message. Jeremiah is getting bombarded. We've shared his ups and his downs. He's going to go down again. But God, you're doing something. Israel isn't responding. Jeremiah is. God has someone he's working on, Jeremiah. He's doing the other in the process. But he's working on Jeremiah. He has a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. That's what he's doing. Now get, there's awesome lessons if you don't understand. I'm going to try to do a couple of them. They're there. I just need to understand that, because I'm looking for this to happen and this and this and all, and I forgot. God, we're trying to get God interested in this project and get God interested in this over here. But he isn't. He's interested in you. He's interested in your heart. That's what he's interested in. I don't remember him saying anything else as you turn the pages. Now, having said that, a lesson of all of them as we've been doing it. So here we are looking. Now, Jeremiah, having said that, he then, verse 10, the people are responding. As Jeremiah is going to go at it, but the people are going to be the same. Verse 10. Now, remember, we shared the fire. We shared all of that, the Levitical fire. The fire never went out. God started the fire. The fire, Levitical altar, day and night. When they moved, they had to take fire from the altar and carry it to the next place to start the next fire. It always had to be God's fire. And the fire never went out. Our God is a consuming fire. Deuteronomy and Hebrews. Now, so in the light of that, we need all of that, because God, we shared all of those things. Now, and therefore the people are reacting. Verse 10, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report it, all my familiars, my family, my friends, my intimate, people that I thought were my friends. All my familiars watched for my halting. They want me to trip. They want me to fall. They want me to stumble. They want me to make something that they can get me on. Saying, what are they saying? Peradventure, he will be enticed. He'll be entrapped. He'll be seduced. And we shall prevail against him. And we shall take revenge on him. We're going to go and get him. We got to find some way, evidence, some excuse, and they're looking for it. They aren't even needing an excuse, but they're looking for an excuse publicly. Now, so here, verse 11. But the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Now, and you just need to stop there for a second. Remember, now he's looking at himself in his heart, and he realizes his assignment is irritating the people, like in the boxing matches we shared. In the boxing match, you go to the boxing match, and the boxing match, it isn't a 15-rounder, it's a 15,000-round. And he never quits. The world never quits. The world never surrenders. The world never changes. And Jeremiah's out there, and the world goes into the ring, the bell rings, you go back out again, and back and forth. There's no end to this. No, there isn't. And we share together. So verse 11, Jeremiah is encouraged. God isn't saying anything to him. This is one of those times that God isn't speaking to him. Jeremiah is having to go through this all by his lonesome. He has to understand what he should understand. He should understand truth. He should understand the God of truth. He should be trusting the God of truth. And you do it. You know what you ought to do. That's talking to yourself. You know what you ought to do. Do it. Now, so here in verse 11. But the Lord is with me. He's talking. Is with me as a mighty, terrible one. God, Yod, is with him in a most awesome way, as a most terrible one. And in the process, most terrible, he's a mighty warrior, strong, valiant, as it were, awesome. Wow, God is mighty, mighty, mighty. Hang on to that. We want to get that a little bit. What did you know about God, Jeremiah? In the midst of all of this, you're looking to God as you understand him, rightly so, and you're going to trust him. And my God, using it to say it that way, my God is a terrible, terrible, terrible warrior. Wow. You don't want to go against him. No. Now, so a little bit to get to see that a little. Over, if you would, over to, way back where Jeremiah would have that. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And Deuteronomy in chapter 10. And you will note, what did Moses remind Israel of that Jeremiah would certainly have access to and know? And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, picking up, please, to get the thought, in verse 15. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is this day. That's Israel. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked, which they were in the wilderness. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty, there's your word, mighty, terrible, mighty, mighty, valor, strong, God, a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. God, your God. Wow. So how do you see God? How do you understand God? Now, having said that, here's Deuteronomy. So now we'll go just quickly over to Psalm 24, moving through history. And in Psalm 24, David, what are you going to tell us? In Psalm 24. And allow me to pick up in thought. And sliding down, if I can, to verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. There's your little word, mighty. Again, the Lord mighty, two times, in battle. So what would you know, David? What would you know? God is mighty. God is almighty. Wow. So when it comes to, and it's a terrible God, a warrior. That's right. Wow. Jeremiah, what are you saying? I understand. My God is a terrible, mighty God. So here's all the opposition and all the opponent, all the obstacle, everything out there. But God, you are a mighty God. Jeremiah and chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. And it will come, you'll catch it. In the days ahead, maybe, if the Lord tarries for a couple of weeks. That is a funny one, yeah. Okay. Anyway, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, if I can. And picking up, if I might, again, in verse 18. Psalm 32, verse 18. Jeremiah's great prayer, wonderful prayer of all the prayers are. But here's his, and it's a, remember he purchased the land, and he isn't going to, Nebuchadnezzar's going to take it, so what's the sense in buying a piece of property that you can never own? And he goes and buys it by faith, because it's going to be able to be brought back to him, ultimately. So now, chapter 32, verse 17. I'll even read verse 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There's nothing too hard for thee. Nothing. Nothing is too hard. Nothing too wonderfully, wonderfully hard, God. So you can go extraordinary, wonderful, awesome, powerful. There's nothing too hard for you, God. So, verse 18, Thou knowest, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. Now, Jeremiah, what do you know? Great, the great and the mighty God, The Lord of hosts is his name. God, there's nothing too extraordinary for you to do. And you, the end of verse 18, you are the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is your name. God, God. So here's Jeremiah bathing, rightly so, mentally, in his heart, looking to God, reminding himself about his wonderful God and his wonderful Savior. Now, having said that, and therefore, Jeremiah is reminded about the awe-inspiring, terror-striking is the word, terrifying God, your wonderful protection, God against all sorts and all enemies, your wonderful way to keep everything prevailing and to keep it going, and nothing stops what you want, when you want it, how you want it. Now, having said that, in keeping that in mind, back over to chapter 20. And in chapter 20, picking up in thought, and picking up our thought, if we can, in verse 11. The Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed. For reason, they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion, shame, insult, shall never be forgotten. In other words, what they've done and how they've done it will never be forgotten. They're going to be humbled by it, shamed by it, what they did and what they tried to do. Now, so God, you're looking at Jeremiah, and he's looking at here's the people out there, and they after him, and Jeremiah says, nothing's going to work for you. The enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, it isn't going to work for him ultimately, and it isn't going to work for you, Israel, Jerusalem, even now. So now, nothing's going to work, and God's a terrible God. You aren't going to beat God. There's nothing too hard for God at all. Now, and verse 12, but O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seeth the reins and the heart. Now God, here you are, and God, he's looking. Now God, you put to the test the righteous now. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and catching that, if we can, a little bit first, go over with me, please, to Deuteronomy again, chapter 4. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. This way here, you keep your Bible fresh. Chapter 4. And, if I can, picking up, please, in thought, chapter 4, picking up our mood, what we're after now. Jeremiah said, God, you put to the test the righteous, the believing heart. You put us to the test. Not them out there. You put me, said Jeremiah. You put me to the test. You put righteous David to the test. That's right. That's right. God, that's where we started off with that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto me a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Now God, you had them in Egypt 400 years, and they were cooked, refined, and readied for an exodus. And they grew to a great nation in the land of Goshen, the southern part of the Nile, northern part of the Nile. And in the process, they grew to a great nation. And you took them out and introduced them. You introduced yourself at Mount Sinai to them. Now, and you did that. And you remind them before they cross the Jordan here in the book of Deuteronomy, you remind them that they were raised and developed in an iron furnace, a place where you take and smelt things. You take metals and cause them to melt, to get the dross out of, depending on the metal. And what you're doing, you get the heat real hot to do that, the smelters and all of that. Wow. Now, so having said that, God, and where did they come out of? They came out of, God looked at it, all they, remember, that's what their cry was when God took them. We are, our taskmasters beat us day in and day out. We're being beaten, clobbered as we make bricks for the pyramids, for the Sphinx and anything else. And we're making all this stuff, and God, we're being overly whelmed, overly beaten all of these years. And it built up and built up, and God said it is time now to rescue the people from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Now, having said that, and he did this. So the furnace was a hard, hard time. And if you were an Israelite back then, you would have been part of that. Wow. Blood, sweat, and tears. Wow. That's what we live with. Wow. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, over to, if you can, over to Isaiah, taking a big jump again. Isaiah chapter 48. Remember the iron furnace. That's where Israel came out of. Isaiah, that was to be a nation, the nation, God's special nation. Isaiah 48, if I may, picking up in thought. Oh, go to verse 9. Isaiah 48, 9. For my name's sake will I defer, delay mine anger. And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. In other words, I'm gonna hold back, to withhold my anger. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Verse 11. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. Verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. So I'm the beginning and I'm the beginning, I'm the ending. I'm the one that brought you, raised you up from Jacob and the 70 of you that went into the land. And I raised you up to a great nation, over 2 million people. I did that for you. And I rescued you. And I did that in an iron furnace. It was affliction. It wasn't hard. You would have never got there. And jumping way ahead, Israel, how are you going to reach Israel? Israel there in unbelief as a nation? God, you told us in Deuteronomy. How is Israel ever going to get turned to God? And there can be no peace in the world until there is peace in Jerusalem. Until the Prince of Peace comes. The Prince of Peace doesn't come till it's time. Now, what God, you know all this. What? God, you told us. I'm going to let great tribulation come. And the tribulation coming up is for whom? Israel, among others. And Israel is going to wake up. The whole world is going to wake up. But Israel's going to wake up. That's what's going to happen. Now, is that how you're going to reach them? Affliction. Israel doesn't learn except in the college of hard knocks. They won't learn simply. Don't be as a horse or a mule, but have a wonderful heart looking to God. Now, so having said that, over in the light of that, over to, back over to Jeremiah and to chapter 11. And God, you told them, they forget how God does what he does and why he does what he does. Chapter 11, Jeremiah, may I pick up, please, in verse 3. And saw thou, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant. Verse 4, which I commanded your fathers, in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, what did you tell him, God? Obey my voice and do them, my word, according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, so be it, O Lord. Now, God, what did you want? You took them out of the iron furnace and told them at Mount Sinai to honor God, his wonderful person, presence, and his word. That's what they were to do. Now, having said that, try. Over now to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 17. And God will say it simply for us. Proverbs and chapter 17. May I pick up, please, the thought in verse 3. The finding pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold. But we aren't making silver, no. We aren't making gold, no. But the Lord tries, there's your little verb, tries the heart. What were you looking for, God? Jerusalem isn't going to do anything. They just get hotter and hotter. Ah, but at least one, Jeremiah, is getting softer and softer. And I can reach him. I have a man. I don't need a million people. I don't need any people, actually. I'm God. He said, I've chosen you to enjoy the wonderment of my wonderful person so that I can be glorified and honored as you appreciate and anticipate the wonderment of all I'm doing, going to do forever. And you're going to honor me for being a marvelous, terrible, awesome warrior, your God, Almighty. Now, having said that a little bit, so God, your bottom line is you're working on the heart. That's right. And we read in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, God, you're trying the reins, the word reins is the particular word in the Hebrew for kidneys, plural. Kidneys, right in there. Wow. Your kidneys and heart, the inside, your guts, down inside of you, where you live, where you're inside here, where you live in there. That, not out here, not on your smartphone or something, in here. That's where you live. And that's where God's working. That's right. And when you're all done, God, you aren't going to take anything, like my business or anything I accomplished. No, I'm just going to take you. And you, I'm going to leave everything else behind. I'm just going to take you. And I have sought to do a wonderful work in your heart if you'd let me. Did you let me? That's the question. Did you let me do it? Job chapter 23. We'll see the word. You know one of your places. In Job and chapter 3. I said chapter 3, didn't I? I heard myself say it. You can go there and add 20. Let me give you a tough problem. 3 plus 20 is 23. We all get there? Wow, you're so good. Wow. 23. Here's Job. Now, Job, remember we started off. Job, God isn't dealing with Job with getting all kinds of pressures. No, his whole thing is internal, and his little family, he draws a little circle, and God's doing a wonderful work in exercising that little circle that he lives in to develop the man. And the man isn't complaining about his friends aren't helping them. Who can help you? God, it's a relationship. I got to work it out. Now, so here's Job, chapter 23, and you would recall, if I may, in the wonderful section. I'm going to pick it up in verse 8, if I may, in the light of everything. Verse 8, 23, 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. Backward, but I cannot perceive him. I can't find God. On the left hand, where he doth work. God, I just need you to help me. But God was just letting it all happen. And Job had to work it out. Verse 9, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, there's your little verb, to be put to the proof, to be put in the smelting pot, to take the metal and cook it, till you get the dross and let it boil down and get the dross out of it, get the junk out of it, so you have gold, silver, God. Wow. Now, so God, but I'll read it again. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me. What did Jeremiah say in chapter 20 and verse 12? Try the righteous. You're trying me. You're trying me, God. You're putting me to the test. And that's correct. Now, are you enjoying the test? Are you exercising the test? Are you at least experiencing the test? Wow. Now, so I'll read verse 10 again. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God said, I'm not trying for gold or silver. I'm looking for hearts. I'm looking to get you like I want you. What do you mean? For us believers, I want you to be changed. I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son. I adopted you, placed you as sons in the Son to become sons. That's what it's about. Now, and Job is one of them. Job, Moses, all of them. Now, to come forth as gold. And again, the section, verse 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. In other words, I'm not backing away. I'm not disappearing. I'm not going to dig a hole and hide in it. No, God. Jeremiah, are you going to hide? No, I'm going to go through the struggle. Wow. Is it worth it? Afterwards, think of Hebrews 10. After you've done the will of God, then you'll know. How could you possibly know until you go through it? How could you know the value of the multiplication system until you go through it? How could you know anything till you bumble through it? Wow. And you have to go through it. That's correct. Now, therefore, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I'm not going back away. God, I'm going to hang in there. I want to get it for myself. And if you understand that, that helps the whole assembly of believers. You got to get it for yourself. What's the sense? Your link in the chain is the chain. And each link needs to be strong. If you got a few pieces of iron and a piece of cardboard between us, that's not good. You got to have tie together, strong. That's what makes the church strong. That's why the church is so in apostasy and emaciated now. Therefore, I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food. God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to work through it. And that's what Jeremiah is going to do. That's what you and I need to do if we know the Lord as our Savior. And in the process, verse 13, but he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, that he doeth. Jeremiah, you already went through that, chapter 20, verse 9. My fire burns in my bones. I'd like to be something. No, God said, I have a wonderful plan. I don't have a second plan. I don't have second best for you. There is no second best. There is none. I have a plan for your life. I don't have 10 plans. Go for it. That's my plan. You can have all kinds of plans. You want my plan? I don't have 10 of them. Go for them. Go for them. But my marriage, my job, my home, my health, my wealth, my family. You got all those things. Sure you do. Everyone else does. But God, you're doing a work inside of us. That's right. Now, having said that, and God, we can't change you. I'm going to change it. Job said, God, that's what you want? And God, Job had to hang in there to finish it. And thus, if I can, over in chapter 23 and in verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. God, you're letting it all happen, and there are many more. You're going to have a broken arm, a broken hip, and a broken nose. And I got some more coming. Are you ready? I'm going to do it. I have a wonderful plan. This is happening to you, and the next thing's going to happen to you. Be of good cheer, Job. I know what I'm doing. I'm after you. The more you get, the quicker you learn. You don't be like stubborn like a mule. You want to be quick to learn. Like a feather. Now, in the light of that, in verse 14, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. So God, we're in your presence. That's right, just like Job was, just like Jeremiah was. That's right. And therefore, God, here we are, and when I consider, I'm afraid. God, there are people you know that years ago when people used to be more everything in a good way, godly and God-concerned, Bible-concerned. It isn't so today, but it used to be, if you can imagine that. It used to be. Probably you never have known it. Used to be. And people would want God's will. But then they had to say, well, I may not like what God does for me. I may not want what God does for me. God may ask something I don't like. And that was one of the reasons. You didn't have to give yourself. You could be saved, but you didn't have to give yourself to God because you may not like what he's going to do. I used to think that was so funny. Wow. That's what they did. And you have to overcome that. God, you're going to do what you're going to do. That's right. And I want you to know, I am not going to change. You're either going to look to me, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. How about something? Are you going to do something bad? No. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You being evil, can do things that are good for your children. What do you think I do? I am good. Good God. And you're going to think that I don't understand you, your makeup, your personality? I know all about you. If anyone could choose the right thing for your life, I can. If you're going to trust me. No. We need to do that. God, you're going to do it. That's right. That's what I understand. People don't understand that. And they're going to give God a program. No, God doesn't need your program or mine. He isn't going by your program. He isn't going by our opinion. He isn't going by any of it. No. Verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, tender, weak, and the Almighty troubleth me. He causes me to be agitated, to be disturbed. He troubleth me because, verse 17, I was not cut off before the darkness. God didn't take it away from me. God didn't ease it off from me. God kept me in it. And God was faithful, 1 Corinthians 10. God is going to be faithful in the whole thing. So if he leaves the darkness and the deadness and the thing, it doesn't seem to ever going to come out right. But it will. It will. The darkness doesn't go away? No. Darkness doesn't need to go away. You and I need to be looking to the God who sent you. Think of 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God where? In your heart. In here. And keep that clear. Don't let all the whole lot of junk, feelings, thoughts, bury it. No, keep it. Keep everything clean. I got you, God. You got me? And I got you. And therefore, verse 17, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. God, couldn't you make it? No, if I want it less, it'll be less. If I want the pain to be less, are you looking to me? Then we'll work it out. If I want it more, what kind of pill will you take? On the other hand, if you're really going to trust me, work through this. So what? It isn't your pain or your heartache or your headache or anything else. It's a relationship to God that stays straight, steady, and safe. And that keeps you in the thick and thin of it. When you can't move and you're hurt all over, but you've got a great Savior who's saving you. And all of this is going to disappear in due order. The darkness will be dark till it's time to be light. So be of good cheer. And trust me, I don't want to do, I only want it. God isn't interested in clobbering us. He's interested in educating us. So we're either going to get educated. The quicker you get educated, the easier it is. That's my little half a testimony to you. And I've been around a little bit with God for a long time. I'm trying to tell you, the quicker you learn, quicker you yield, the easier it is. You don't fight everything, you know. If you, lousy illustration, if you were going to go in one of the matches or exercise or something, and years ago, and in the process, they have people that are physically in martial arts and stuff, and doing that stuff, and if you're there, one of the things I remember anyway, Nishimoto, you don't know him, did you know Nishimoto? No, Nishimoto was not very big. But he could rip a tennis ball in half, just like this. Just like that. Now, so, and in process. Now, here you are going, and you're going to, here's break up. Then you got to do it. And he said, don't do that. Oh, no, I'm going to get you. He said, no, you aren't. And whoosh. What did you have to do? Don't fight him. Learn, he's helping you how to do it. Relax, 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 relax. That's how you do it. And you win. Don't fight me, said God. Let me help you. Learn from me. Hebrews 11, 29. Get your learning what? From me. I am meek and lowly in heart. Why don't you learn? I'm not out to get you. I'm out to help you. I love you. We don't know what that means, do we? I love you. I want to do it. I do.